Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. The act of reading causes a minor miracle in your brain, causing it to create new neural connections from old. That's according to research by cognitive neuroscientist Marianne Wolf, director of the Center for Reading and Language Research at Tufts University. She's the author of Proust and the Squid, The Story and Science of the Reading Brain. Here's Marianne Wolf to tell us more. Our brain, physically, is changing as we're reading. Could you maybe talk a little bit about that? What's going on there?
Sure. It's really an amazing thing, but any time we learn something new, like jumping rope or learning numeracy, or in this case, literacy, our brain is taking its older existing structures and rearranging them and making a new circuit. Now, with reading, it's absolutely extraordinary and, in my truly humble opinion, a small miracle, because what the brain is doing is learning how to put together the networks that our brain already has for vision, for language, for thinking, for feeling, for remembering, and making a whole new circuit out of that, all those existing parts. So reading is actually a reflection of our brain's enormous plasticity.
Could you maybe talk about, has there been much science into studying, good reading versus not reading that isn't so good? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Oh, this is an excellent question. There are a lot of different studies in the world of cognitive neuroscience on a brain that doesn't read easily, like the brain of a child with dyslexia. One of the major ways that we really see that brain through our imaging is that it's using its very amazing right hemisphere strength for what is essentially a left hemisphere-oriented task, language. So the right hemisphere, not of all dyslexic children, but of many, is a very strong and often quite gifted one. But Jorge, your question really has two really big directions. The dyslexic brain is one thing, and that's, you know, using a different organization. And the brain of a child who is never exposed to literacy is another very different question and requires a different response. And my response to that is that is a problem we shouldn't have in a society like ours, and yet we do.
What's going on in the brain of a child who has never read before do we know much about that as they're first learning how to read? And does that compare very much to someone who's older, who is experienced in reading and goes right into it? How do these experiences compare?
The brain of a brand new reader is fresh stuff, totally different from an expert reader for whom that whole circuitry, all those pathways are automatic. When that brand new reader is looking at print, they're using their left hemisphere, their right hemisphere in the visual areas and, you know, at the back of the brain. They're really spending a lot of time, and it's highly activated, where an adult reader, it's certainly activated there, but it's so rapid, and it doesn't require as much, literally, as much space, because it's no longer having to learn to set it down. You've got that nice, neat circuitry, efficient and wired to actually get the first milliseconds done and dispensed with, so you get into, let's say, around 300, 400 milliseconds, you get into the heart of reading in an expert reader.
What does science know about, you know, the whys of reading? Why we read? Why we continue to read? is that too big a question? What do you think of that?
So I'm going to take your question, Jorge, and I'm going to take it a level that maybe you intended and maybe you didn't, but it's certainly under my intentions in this book.
I hope you're going to talk about the internet.
That's where I'm going. I believe that we have a brain right now that is trained, set up in its circuit, to think deeply, to think critically, to think at a probative level. And that takes some time, and it takes motivation and intention. If you and I look at a book, let's say, with a passage, and we're reading it on a book, and we take that same passage and we put it on a screen presentation, with our brain, we're going to bring to bear on that screen all the critical and the wonderful things that we've been trained, we've been formed to think and do. But if a child who moves immediately from decoding and just becomes immersed in this world where it seems like all the information is there, my question, and here's the why, my question is that brain going to have that same deep reading approach?
Well, right. I mean, I guess, I mean, is there a scientific reason to preserve the printed word? I mean,
my worry is that we will beget, not us, but the next generation, a generation of decoders of massive information who were never taught or never learned fully enough to go below the surface, to go the deeper layers. They don't have time. Besides, on the side of the screen are three more things that they're interested in. They're listening to the music. They're doing 3, 4, 5 tasks at once, making the quality of attention very different in that presentation, and my worry, a very different level of comprehension in that brain.
I guess this ties into the Proust of who said that which is at the end of their wisdom is the beginning of ours.
Yeah,
but what about the squid though? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, there's a really long story and a really short story, and I'll tell you the short story. In the 1950s, in the middle of the 20th century, the squid, if you just think of the shape of the squid, it has some of the most gorgeous axons you can imagine because there's these long tentacles. Well, neuroscientists, they would use those long neurons of the squid to teach them about how the central nervous system worked, how neurons communicate to each other. So the squid really taught us an amazing amount about how the brain and the nervous system worked in the 20th century, and especially in the middle of the 20th century. And now, reading, which is not a biological thing in essence, it's a cultural invention in essence, but it's an invention that teaches us how the brain learns something new. So in a way, I'm saying that reading is our new squid, but I'm being facetious here. It's an analogy. Reading teaches us about how the brain learns something that goes beyond its original hardwired system.
Dr. Wolf, thank you very much. I appreciate taking this time out.
Thank you. It's a true pleasure to be on your program.
That was cognitive neuroscientist Marianne Wolf on The Reading Brain. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.